Air Forces from across NATO are taking part in the alliance's annual nuclear exercise. The drills involve 14 countries and up to 60 aircraft. They'll conduct training flights over Belgium, as well as the North Sea and the UK. Meanwhile, Russia is holding its own annual nuclear drills, which usually take place in late October. Natasha Butler has more from Paris.
At a NATO defence ministers meeting in Brussels, Jens Stoltenberg, though, said that NATO would certainly not cancel these exercises this year. And in fact, it would not be a good thing to do so. It would send the wrong message, he said, to Moscow at this particularly difficult time when Russia has been stepping up its rhetoric when it comes to threats about using nuclear weapons. We've heard a lot from Moscow about that. We know that the NATO alliance says that it's taking those threats very seriously indeed. It is watching them closely. At this point, the alliance says that it really feels those threats are more about trying to deter Western powers from taking part in this conflict, but nevertheless, as I said, being looked at very seriously. In fact, the US Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said any nuclear strike by Russia would receive a response from Ukraine's allies. He didn't exactly say what it would be. He said it would be a physical response. We then heard a little bit later from the French President Emmanuel Macron, who seemed to almost contradict that. Emmanuel Macron saying that that allies would not use a nuclear weapon against any nuclear strike by Russia, but he wasn't totally clear about exactly what would happen. Nevertheless, it's important to note that France is not part of Operation Steadfast Noon. It's not part of these exercises, even though France is one of the only three nuclear powers in the alliance, along with the US and the UK. But France is not part of NATO's nuclear deterrent planning group.
Elizabeth Brau is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. She joins us live now from Washington, D.C. to talk more about this. Thanks very much for being with us. Now, as we were saying, these are annual drills that that NATO and the Russians regularly conduct. But, of course, they've taken on much greater significance with the war in Ukraine, and that's part of the reason we're talking to you. Just talk us through what we should be looking for here.
Yes, as you say, these exercises take place every year, and unsurprisingly so, because if you've got nuclear weapons, you've got to exercise how you would be using them. Otherwise, you will lose those skills. But obviously, what has changed in the past 6 months or so is Russia's signaling, or the signaling by some Russian officials, that Russia may be willing to use or prepare to use nuclear weapons against Ukraine. And so these exercises, which usually take place without much public interest at all, are now suddenly extremely interesting. And they are interesting not just for NATO to watch what the Russians are doing and vice versa, but also for the general public in Ukraine, and indeed for all of us, because if a nuclear weapon is used somewhere, it clearly would mean a risk escalation that would involve all of us. But we should also remember that exercises are merely that. It doesn't mean that these either side is more or less willing to use a nuclear weapon, but it does come against the background of Russia being willing to use nuclear weapons.
And is there any significance in these exercises taking place at the same time?
There really isn't. It's these sorts of things. All military exercises are scheduled long in advance. But I think what is really crucial to be watching this year is what the Russians do. Now, they are not very transparent about their military exercises ever. So it's not very easy to discern what exactly they practice. But I think what we should all be trying to get some sort of clarity about is what sort of nuclear weapons they are involving in this exercise. And that comes against the background of Russia having developed a so-called low-yield nuclear warhead over the past few years. So what some people would call a mini nuke that is less powerful than traditional nuclear weapons that have been used or have been developed in the past. And so what is really important to establish is how Russia might think about this weapon and how it might use it. And of course, that is what the Ukrainians are worried about, that the Russians will use a small nuclear weapon there, and then what happens. But, and that's why it's so important to watch this exercise to see exactly, see at least with some sort of clarity what the Russians may have in mind, even though they don't say or show very much.
What are the implications of this beyond the immediate conflict in Ukraine to the rest of the world?
Well, so there are two implications. One is that a nuclear war, which was such an unlikely scenario for so many years, indeed for more than three decades, all of a sudden that is something that is not totally unlikely anymore, and that is a radical change, really, from the lives we have been living now for three decades. And the other thing is that, and this sounds like a very technical thing, but insurance policies for industry all over the world, including aviation, have only thought about one, or there is only one kind of nuclear conflict mentioned in those new insurance policies, and that is sort of a global nuclear conflict. And if one, that means that if one nuclear weapon is used against Ukraine, that means that insurance policies are null and void for the most part. So, for example, global aviation would be halted. That's something to bear in mind. It doesn't mean that Russia will use these exercises for something like that, but it does mean that we have to pay really close attention to what they may have in mind, because it is something that will affect not just the people who might be affected in Ukraine, but the whole way globalization is set up.
Good to get your analysis, Elizabeth Brow in Washington. Thanks for being with us.